Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we've played our introduction for a few minutes, and I don't know where our host is. He must be caught in a crosstown traffic or something, but welcome to Sight and Vision, Disability, and Senior Talk Radio. Okay, he just arrived in the door, and we can get him on air. Having a little trouble on the board today. Reverend Ray.
Yes, ma'am.
Showtime.
Greetings and welcome to Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor. Our show is about disability rights, disability services, and your disability dollar. Your voice and advocate, voice your concerns, voice your opinion, but please let your voice be heard. Our mission is to bring to you the people, the places, and the things that can change your life for the better, which is living more security in your community and in inclusion, living more free in your surroundings. Welcome to Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and our motto is increase your network and you'll increase your net worth. And behind microphone number two is our hosted with the mostest, Miss Renee. Again, our listener audience, welcome to Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. Although I've been blind for more than 55 years, every morning I wake up, I feel blessed, highly favored, and I know God is good. Greetings, and how are you today, Miss Renee?
Well, except for the heart failure that you gave me, thinking that I had to honcho the show by myself, up until that point I was having a good day. And then for a few minutes it got a little hairy, but I'm good now. Reverend Ray, I'm glad you're back in your hosting chair where you belong.
Well, you know, this technology for all of us from Zoom and everybody Zooming, and I just don't know. We're all adapting and readapting to this technology, so it's all good. And with all the things that's going on, and God knows that we are not a magazine show or a news show. I mean, those people are earning their money with the things that they have to talk about now. But just have a focus on person with disabilities and how they are dealing with the day-to-day livings of the world. That's eating, food, transportation, medical, all that kind of stuff. But anyway, Ms. Renee, we have an interesting show for you today, so please give us our rundown.
I would be delighted. We always begin with the adventures of Mr. Ray and Ms. Raven, and then in the news, the good, the bad, and the ugly, news which affects the disability and senior communities. And as we sign off, you challenge us with your call to action. And we have a special guest today. Experiencing blindness later in life presents special challenges, and our guest, Sherry Harrison, shares her journey with us and our listeners. So back over to you, Reverend Ray.
All righty. And it is quite a experience to lose your sight or become any type of physical disability in your adult life. So we'll be interested to hear her journey, at least part of her journey. It's not over with yet. So, right. You know, we like to start the show with the adventures of Reverend Ray and his German Shepherd seeing that dog, Miss Raven, that dog of wonder. And it is brought to you by the Big Bad Wolf Pet Store. And that wolf is spelled W-O-O-F, Wolf, Wolf. And please visit them at their website, thebigbadwolf.com. You can call them at 202-747-3434. That's 202-747-3434. And proprietor Miss Penny, let her know you heard about it on Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. And she might drop a little something extra in that bag for you and your pet, all right? But let your pet eat it, not you. All righty, so the adventures of Reverend Ray and Miss Raven. I almost said Miss Renee. We have some adventures, too. We have some adventures, too, but we can't talk about them here. But anyway, and Miss Raven, because of the COVID, Mr. Ray and Miss Raven have not been doing a whole lot of adventures. But now things are sort of loosened up when they're saying the CDC came out and said about you don't have to be wearing masks and that kind of thing. That's a whole nother show. But anyway, because Reverend Ray is medically in that area where he got to be careful, he's not doing a whole lot of business right now. So we do evil suggestions, information, and tips. Some information. Your service animal dog is very important to you, and you can't afford for it to get sick. I had a neighbor, she has a pet dog, and she had the dog out, and the dog picked up something and ate it, and now going through a lot of physical, medical situations. And for those that have a service animal, you know, other than what we can't avoid that just happens, we have to be very careful, and I say this, teach your dog to do what you call leave it. It's a simple training, and just go on YouTube, and they can walk you through it. Put a dog, don't touch anything, because when you're taking your dog out to relieve itself, it's sniffing and stuff, and I'm talking to blind people, and you can't tell if the dog picked something up. So unless you really have the command, leave it down, leave it. If you really have that command where you know your dog gonna pick anything up and put it in his mouth unless you command it to, have the dog wear a gentle lever. A lever. We don't call it muzzle anymore. We call it a gentle lever, and that's just to put on the dog's mouth while it's you have it out relieving itself. Because I mean, for your dog to get sick or some type of medical situation for picking something up off the ground, and God knows there's so much stuff on the ground and the grass and stuff. And that's why one of the things a lot of people park their dog or relieve it on concrete. But if you just in a situation where you have to be in grass or something like that, use a gentle leader until you can train your dog and know that your dog is not going to pick anything up to put in his mouth. So like I say, it's a command, and you can just go on YouTube and just put in, you know, training for the command, leave it. So that is brought to you by the Big Bad Wolf Pet Store, and that is Wolf Wolf. And please call them at 202-747-3434, 202-747-3434, or go online and you can order the BigBadWolf.com. And just let Miss Penny know that you heard it here on Sight and Vision Radio, and they've been doing something long before everybody got into this delivery now, because we couldn't get close to people or people couldn't go in the stores. So they do have free delivery. They will deliver it to your home. So just call them at 202-747-3434, 202-747-3434, and that is the Big Bad Wolf. Back over to you, Ms. Renee, and to introduce our special guest.
Well, people are experiencing blindness later in life, and our special guest, Sherry Harrison, is going to share her journey with us here on Sight and Vision, Disability, and Senior Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Miss Sherry.
Good afternoon, Reverend Razor. Good afternoon, Renee.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us and being our being our guest for the day.
The pleasure. Yes.
And we always treat you the first time like a guest, that we open the door for you, let you come in, we get offered you a seat, we get a glass of water for you. But after the day, when you come on again, you just get your own seat. You like family. You kick off, take your shoes off, whatever. So we appreciate you being a guest, and you will be a returning guest because you are doing some returning things that's worthy of that. So just tell us a little bit about you, because people can go online and learn all about crocheting and the businesses and stuff we're going to talk about. But tell us a little bit about your journey and your beginnings.
Okay, well, the journey into blindness for Sherry Harrison began at the age of 40. I now will be 58 this year, and some would call it a tragedy. At the time, it did appear to seem to be a tragedy. You know, you start wondering, how come I'm running through red lights, or how come I'm not seeing things like I used to? Why am I using this magnifier? Why is my face so close to the computer screen? And then denial sets in, and you say, oh, I see okay. You know, sometimes you just got to use other devices to help yourself out. Well, being in denial for myself, unfortunately, lasts for about a year and a half. And Reverend Razor, I tell you, when the acceptance of I am not seeing out of my left eye hit me, it was because I put my hand up to my right eye and realized I didn't see anything. That was such a shock and a fear, yes, because when I moved my hand from my right eye, I'm like, I see just fine. Wait a minute. What is going on here? So I slowly closed that right eye, and I kid you not, there was no vision in my left eye. And people say, well, why didn't you know that? Well, because you're always looking out of both eyes. And so until I had reason to close one eye and not the other, that's when I realized I need to go to the doctor. And having done that is when they let me know that due to a disease called sarcoidosis, and sarcoidosis was a disease that attacked my optic nerve. It in turn killed the optic nerve. It had already killed the left optic nerve side, and that's why there was no vision on my left side. The diagnosis was going to be that you are going to go totally blind. We just don't know when, but that is what's going to happen. You know, then you start with the 1,000 questions, and the $100 million question was, what can be done? And the $100 million answer was, nothing. Write it out.
So let me ask you, before you got up to 40 in that situation, tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up. Did you have did you have siblings, or did you get married, have any children before you got up to 40 and this new reality changed your life?
Okay. Yes. Actually, funny you should say that. The 29th of this month, May 29th, will be my third year wedding anniversary. And unfortunately, but fortunately, the third time's the charm, because this is my third husband. In my younger years, yes, with sight in my younger years, at the age of 18, I married very young, and I had two children, a beautiful daughter and a son. They grew up. Life was fine, well, and good until it wasn't. And so I went through a divorce from their father, and life still moved on. You know, you make the best of it. The children pretty much were getting into their teenage years, and so I was a single mother raising the two of them. At the time, they grew up in Anderson, Indiana. My hometown is Indianapolis, Indiana, capital city here in the Midwest states. Graduated from Arsenal Tech High School. And, you know, just was looking forward to being a mother and a wife. And when life throws again its tragedies and adversities, you know, you pick yourself up and you say, you know, God bless it all. We're going to keep moving forward. So I did, and life went on. And lo and behold, again, around the age of 39 is when I realized this vision is not great. The children were almost to their adulthood.
One moment. When you hit a mute, we have to take a break. Reverend Ray got to go in his pocket and pay some people something, Bill. So we're going to come back on the other side of the break and continue with As You Came Up the Blindness. But we want you back up a little more as we come. Let us know where you was born up, how things were, where you was born, how things was as you was coming up as a youngster, and then we'll go into your blindness and how all that affected your wholeness. So you're listening to Sight and Vision Disability Senior Talk Radio Show, and we will be back with you on the other side of the bump in and bump out. Miss Renee.
You are listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio. We're heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Back over to Reverend Ray and our very special guest, Sherry Harrison.
All right. Okay. All right, Sister Sherry. So where did you grow up and did you have siblings, and what were those relationships like? And I ask that because after losing your sight, I wanted to know the people you knew then, the lifestyle you had knew then. How did it translate to after losing your sight?
Okay, yes, I have siblings. I have a twin brother, Jerry, and myself. Yes, and then I have an older sister, Sandra. I have a younger brother, Ron, and a younger sister, Cece. So there were five of us, and we grew up with both parents, my mother, Sylvia, and my father, Bill, in, again, the capital city here in Indianapolis, Indiana. So my home life living was we grew up in the one house all of our life. So 2306 New Jersey, the east side of Indianapolis, was where, you know, we grew up. We did the regular sibling things, you know, had our little bouts back and forth. Like I say, with a twin, it was he do one thing, I do one thing. He do something, I do something. You know, we couldn't play the look-alike because we don't look alike, you know. It was a fun life. Our dad took us camping a lot, so we got experience with nature, outdoors type of things, beach life. Yeah. For I mean, you know, it, to me, lake was a lake. It wasn't an ocean or anything. Being here in the state of Indiana, but it was still fun times growing up. Advancing on into, you know, school, and then life with high school was kind of challenging. I made up in my mind I wanted to get in and get out with the credits. And so with 3.5 years, I completed all of my courses of my 32 credits, graduated with a 4.5 grade point average, moved on and went to Ohio Institute of Technology for some technology training.
Wait a minute, one moment. Why did you want to get in and get out? Because a lot of people find that the time to cut up, raise hell, sow their oats, you know, carry on, be crazy, smoke herbs, all that. So how come you decided you wanted to get in and get out?
I wanted to get in and get out because in the late 70s, early 80s, the school that I was going to dealt with a lot of prejudice issues. And we dealt with issues that it feared me, for one. My freshman year, they had what was called a Sadie Hopkins Day. You could dress up and do these different things. Well, unfortunately, a student dressed up as a Klansman, and he was a black person, and the white people threw him off of the roof. That was not a great experience as a freshman. So my mindset said, get in and get out. These people are crazy.
Okay, I understand that. So you went on to the Indiana to the Institute
Ohio Institute of Technology.
Yeah. Ohio yeah. Institute of Technology, yes, to study for electronic technician. Again, now when you say, yeah, life gets where you start all the crazy things, well, unfortunately for myself, that was kind of where life started its crazy things, and I journeyed down a road that, yes, was not the greatest thing to make choices.
And Ms. Sherry, in Ohio, I understand, believe me. Renee's from Ohio. That's what she said. So I understand the craziness in Ohio. Yes, go ahead. I understand. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, sir. So, you know, after returning from failing to complete that training, it was unfortunate, but I come back to Indiana and started on another journey for cosmetology. I was blessed with the talent of being able to braid hair tremendously. I could whip you up French braids and hairstyles, and so I got into that field and completed that after, it was like a 900-hour course. I was probably 750 hours in, and then the school caught on fire. So, you know, about adversity early on.
Well, Sherry, at that point, did your friend say, Sherry, where you going at next? Because I ain't going there. I mean.
That's what my mom was saying. Now what are you going to do? You know? They opened up a new school in Carmel, Indiana. Can we go there? You know? Okay. So I tell you, Reverend Razor, even with sight, Sherry has experienced some areas of, you know, tragedies, adversities, pick yourself up by your bootstraps and move forward, you know. And with having all of that, I give all that glory to the Lord because I was introduced into the salvation of my soul early on at the age of 10. So, you know, you pray, you thank God, you know, you ask for guidance and blessings along your life's journey. So, you know, that's kind of where with siblings and school life and then into getting married and then starting myself a family. So, yeah.
So after losing or starting to lose your sight and you came to the realization with the medical people that you were going to go blind, nothing you could do about it. How did you tell your family about it, and how did your immediate family and your siblings and social network, how did they handle it or deal with it?
Wow. Okay. Well, the job, once they realized the devices that I was using, putting my face really close to the computer screen, using magnifiers, their concern was, are you okay? You know, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be all right. And the owner of the, I was a molding operator, so it was in plastics. And so his concern was, of course, for my safety on the machines that I was operating. And I also was over the assembly department. So, you know, his big concern became, how will I continue to handle all my responsibilities and duties that I'd done on the job? When I looked at the time cards one day and realized that the ink on there looked like it was almost gone, and someone said, no, it's really black, and how come you don't see what I see? That's when I had turned in my two-week notice. Yeah, and I said, Sherry, you're going to have to stop. Like I say, I stayed in that denial for so long because what do? You know, you haven't saved. Your 401 doesn't look great. You just don't know where you're going to turn if you're not employed. At that point, I was getting ready to be into my fifth year on that job. So I tell you, Ray Razor, sir, it was just, oh, my goodness. My truth is I was frightened, terrified, and scared. And so the day that I finally said, okay, I'm giving it up, turned in notice. Now you go and you ask the doctors, are you sure? Or is there anything? There's nothing. Well, they gave me these drugs and steroids and all that stuff did was just swell me up really bad. When I come to the understanding that they said there's nothing that could be done, I said, well, then throw these pills in the trash because they're not helping me. I felt that was a hindrance. So I didn't continue to take the drugs. It was like there's nothing that can be done except that there's nothing that could be done. So then it was, yes.
Yeah. But Sherry, I want to go inside. You're struggling with accepting this. And you said you are a child of God. What kind of conversation did you have with the Lord?
Wow. I remember one conversation sitting on the living room floor at my mom's house and talking to my uncle, who was a pastor. And I'm just in this hysterical tears and fits saying, no, 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 not me, not me. Well, how come, Father God, why? And my uncle just said the simple few words, why not you, Sherry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I always wonder about people who are strong faith. You know, when things in our life are challenging, and that's the answer, why not you? And did it shake your faith at all?
It shook it up. It shook it back to the reality of I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I started doing what the Lord asked us to do, pray back his word to him. So, you know, there came the Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thine own understanding because, Lord, no, I do not understand blindness happening to me, and I'm only 40 years old, but, you know, leave it to him, and he will guide me, and so that's what I did. I started leaning on the word, started leaning on my faith, started, you know, and, I actually thought the Serenity Prayer was as short as it was, but I had a friend that told me no, that the Serenity Prayer was much longer and that I needed to learn it. And once I did, that area that said, you know, hardship is the, I got lost with what I wanted to say, but yes, that Serenity Prayer took me to a whole different level. And, you know, like I said, you make it. You decide that this is going to be okay. And it was the day that I lost the total sight in the right eye. I just happened to have been looking in the mirror and was praying, Lord, I had my face really close to the mirror, and I said, let me always look like this so that I can remember what I look like. And no sooner than that got out of my mouth, Renee, I blinked and everything was gone. And
wow.
I just kind of stood there and I was like,
go ahead. But for people to hear your story, it's so wonderful. But I want to, and it's what got you through, but with God and your new skills, where did you start acquiring blind skills? What was that story? What was that journey like?
Okay, that journey actually come from assistance with my little sister. She was a Indigo driver, and she drove the bus that had driven around the disabled. And Lee Martin was on the bus with her talking, and she said, you know, I have a sister that's losing her sight, and she was really concerned. So she gathered information from Lee Martin, which is the president here in Indiana of the Circle City chapter. She brought that information back to me and said, sis, listen, he said something about the National Federation of the Blind and all that you can learn. She says you're going to have to start getting yourself affiliated with, you know, things that can help you. And I'm like, okay, I'm all for that because, You know, unfortunately, doctors a lot of times don't pass on helpful information, referrals, and things of that nature. So when I contacted the National Federation of the Blind via Lee Martin, and he started informing me of, like, VR and of, like, there was a center here called BOSMA's Rehabilitation Center for the Visually Impaired, and I started signing up for the BOSMA's Rehab Center was one of the best things for me. And that was where my journey of learning the cane travel techniques, the braille, skills of still how to be able to cook. You know, just learning that there's a whole new life that blind people live, and it's going to be possible. It's going to be possible.
Oh. All Amen. Right, that's the music. So we up against our major break, and we only come back with our special guest, Ms. Sherry Harrison, and Lee Marvin. You couldn't have got a better person. He's a friend of the show. We've had him on the show. We've done some things together. So he's a good brother. So you're listening to Sight and Vision Disability Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and we'll be back with you on the other side of the bump in and bump out. Miss Renee.
Well, we want to thank our sponsor, Big Bad Wolf, a Primo pet store located in Northwest Washington, D.C. They carry raw, organic, and premium food. If your dog needs it, they have it. They have store-to-door deliveries in the DMV, so give them a call at 202-747-3434. That's 202-747-3434. You are listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio, heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. So back over to Reverend Radio Ray, and in the news, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
All righty. So this is our segment, in the news, the good, the bad, the ugly, issues that affect persons with disability and seniors. And it is brought to you by Real-Time Pain Relief, the best-smelling, most effective real-time pain relief lotion in the world. You just rub it on and the pain is gone. In the news, good, I would say, it is good news that people don't have to be wearing these masks on one hand, because a lot of people in the disability community have a lot of respiratory problems, and using that mask was not easy for them, but I still caution people with disability, especially blind people that got to almost touch everything. You know, right now, be one of the group of people that are wet, keep your mask with you, because we never know, you know, we can't see people and how far off they are. We can't see if they have masks on, don't have masks on. God knows we can't ask them to flip out their card to prove to us they got the shots or not. So you need to keep a mask with you at all times. So that's the good and the bad of that. The bad thing is that there's a lot of people with disability still have not gotten their shots for one reason or the other. And I say this to them. You know, I have been in a number of groups as a speaker on the panel, that kind of thing. And I say to them, look, yes, we know people can die from these shots. And, you know, and unfortunately we had several people that had gotten blood clots and stuff from that J&J shot. But the thing is, I point out to them, yes, that's I won't say a handful of people, and it doesn't matter, but we know of the over 500,000 people that did die of this COVID, okay? So, you know, I'm not asking you to one is less or more than the other, but we know that. And the other thing is, too, like some people say, well, you know, I get it and I get over it. There's a new term which you'll hear more and more of called long haulers. And what long haulers term is referred to is they estimate about 30% of people that get COVID and get over it, this 30% have a lifelong illness that affects them, their psychotic or their nervous system. and they figure for the rest of their life. So you figure if you 25, 30, 40, 50, and you get COVID, you get over it, but you're still going to have this lifelong illness. So, you know, take those things in account when you know, thinking about getting the shot or not. I just say, you know, think about that. And the ugly part of this, still in the nursing homes, they're the most hit population of persons that is dying and getting so sick they have to be hospitalized. And still understand this. They not saying, just like flu shots you get every year, a booster, it don't cure the flu. So they're not saying that these shots, these three shots, the J&J, the Pfizer, and the Moderna, that they're going to kill you. Man, they're not saying that. What they hoping what happened, it doesn't kill you and it doesn't hospitalize you. But not that you're not going to get sick, you know. But like I said, please consider all aspects of it before you decide not to take it. And I won't get into herd immunity and all that because people have their own take on that. Depends on y'all. But go ahead and just do your part and consider that. Now, there are people have certain illnesses and all that they just cannot get it. It you know, it's just not good for what their medical situation is right now. But for those who can, you know, please look into to getting that. And so that's in the news, the good, the bad, the ugly, issues that affect persons with disability and seniors. And it is brought to you again by Real Time Pain Relief, the most effective, the best melon lotion in the world. And what you do, you just rub it on and the pain is gone. Ms. Renee, back over to you and properly introduce our special guest.
I will indeed. Experiencing blindness later in life presents special challenges, and our guest, Sherry Harrison, is sharing her journey. She just had begun telling us about getting the skills that she needed to continue to live independently. So we'll pick it up from there.
And Ms. Sherry, before we get into your entrepreneurial spirit and what the business you're doing now, I do want to get back to you relating to us. How did your family, and I'm glad to hear you say that you have a pastor in your family, so therefore y'all must be a family that's spiritually based, as the show used to say, a family that prays together, stays together. So, but how did your family, I won't say accept it because they had no other choice, but how did that affect your relationship or change it with your family, and then, and that's immediate, and your but, you know, and your family. How was that handled for you?
Okay, it was handled troubling. Hindsight now, I realized that my siblings took it very hard. They were not sure how to approach me. They feared for what will Sherry do, and so they stayed away. That was very hurtful. At some point later in life, I did say to them, why did y'all pretty much ghost me? You know, I said I would wait on calls and calls, or I would make calls and you don't get any answers. They let it go to voicemail. And it was just like, where did everybody go? I'm out here on my own. How come nobody's here with me, you know? And so my siblings later in life did let me know, Sherry, we were scared for you. We didn't know how to handle it. It really troubled me. My twin said that he just didn't want to accept it. He still tells me, you can see. Oh, you can see. and I tell him, Jerry, I see with my mind's eye, but you do know I'm blind, right? You know? And so, but again, the children were growing on up, and I encouraged them to grow on up. I said, Mama's going to be okay. I said, you know, it'll be all right. Y'all go ahead and live y'all's life. Y'all get your little lives going on. I think my son was, I want to say 18, and my daughter was 21, I think it was. And so, you know, I encouraged them to just go on and live their life. I'm going to adjust. Bosma's going to train me, and I'm going to be okay. And so that's what I did. But like I said, The ones that stuck by my side was my uncle and my mom with their encouraging words. But, yeah, unfortunately, the siblings, they just didn't know what to say. Actually, my brother, and that kind of segued into my entrepreneurship. One day he and I was talking, and he says, well, sis, you're 40, and you didn't do a whole lot with yourself, and so you just should sit back and draw your disability check. Now that's all left for you to do.
Wow, how encouraging. Wasn't he just a bundle of encouragement?
But you know what? I thought of that scenario for about 30 hot seconds and said, no, that's not me. I've been a hard worker since I was 16 years old. I am not getting ready to, you know, hang it up at 40. No.
Miss Sherry, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you a question, because and I understand what you're saying. But when you went to the rehabilitation center and you saw all the things that blind and low vision people could do, did that change the conversation you could have with your siblings, or did it change the conversation you had with yourself on the inside?
It done that, Renee. It changed the conversation I had with myself on the inside, with accepting that I am not going to let others define who Sherry's going to be. I am going to learn what I see is out here, because, I mean, oh, you talk about intimidation. I was so intimidated of what these blind people could do. You know, I was just like, oh, my God, how am I going to ever get there? You know, and somebody told me one step at a time, like an elephant. Yeah. You could eat the whole thing, but not in one day.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Oh,
amen.
That's good. So Sherry, in the time you've been blind, have you gone to any of the national Federation of the Blind conventions? I'm sure you've gone to the state conventions, correct?
One of the state conventions I have done.
Okay.
The nationals I have not, but yes, one state convention I did do. Yes.
Well, I know that must have been interesting and encouraging, because I mean, to be around that many blind people.
It was, and it challenged the training that I had, and I, you know, the ones that took me, again, that I was with Lee Martin and his wife and everybody, you know, they showed me my room, and they, you know, walked my little path from the room to the elevator, so that, you know, the next morning you can be in convention and be a part of, and I'm like, okay, I can get this, I can do that. Well, that morning I get up and I go and I hit the elevator button, I get on the elevator, and when that elevator door opened, I hear all this noise, like machines. I said, uh-oh, what did I do? I said, this is not what she showed me. So I didn't get off the elevator. I bagged up, hit the button, went back to my floor, bagged it all back up, started over. And when I went back, I realized I had got on the service elevator. It was next to the passenger elevator.
That
training helped me to have confidence enough that I was shown how to do this, and it just was a mistake. But don't give up. You know, persevere. And I did, and I got down, and I was able to make it to convention. A little late, but better late than never, because, you know, the persistence of use what you learn. That's what – you know, I encourage individuals that as we learn these skills, let's really use them, because you'll lose it if you don't use it. So,
mm-hmm.
Yep, just started using
mm-hmm.
the skills.
And if you want to go to a convention, one of the best state conventions is under Ron Brown. That's the president of the state of Indiana, which is one of our contributors on this show. He does a show called what's his title? Read the
Street Warrior.
Warrior. Yeah.
Okay.
He teaches cane travel, so he comes on the show and talk about cane travel. Ron Brown does. So if you want to go,
and I have
the Road Warrior, and I have been a speaker at Indiana State Convention, so it's a nice convention. So let me ask you this now. You had somewhat of a social life, I know, and so did you have girlfriends and stuff that, you know, how did they respond, or was you in any of those kind of groups and stuff where you had some close girlfriends and and that kind of thing, or your, just your social life? How was that affected when you lost your sight?
I was a workaholic, Reverend Razor. So a social life, not so much. Again, like I said, raising two teenage children and then having having gotten divorced after 18 years of marriage, it was just work. So actually the not going out and doing stuff didn't bother me as much, except for when I used to work all the time, family would say, every time we have something, you say you're working. And then, like I said, now that I was sitting at home doing nothing, I'm going, every time they have something, now they don't call me. I developed a complex of, okay, what's wrong with Sherry? I know I'm blind, but there's not supposed to be anything wrong with that.
Since you mentioned the marriage, you said this is your third marriage on the 29th of this month. How did you meet your husband? Because many women who are blind or low vision, romance is not always in the cards for them.
Yes.
Okay. Well, mine happened to be an individual that was a member of the National Federation of the Blind. I was at one of our monthly meetings and met this individual. And
Sherry, I'm going to stop you right
music.
There.
Yes.
Our music is playing, and Reverend Ray wants to be able to give me a raise this year. So I'm gonna pay a couple bills, and we're going to come right back, and you can start this again. You are listening
to hear
Disability
this.
Senior Talk Radio, heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. And now we're back to our special guest, Sherry Harrison, and she's telling us how she met her man. Go ahead.
I met a man, and I have no clue as to what he looks like. I asked my uncle. He said, you have a good man. That's what you have. Well,
hey,
one thing about being blind and meeting someone, he looks the way I want him to look. And so I encourage individuals to realize that, again, romance can happen either whether you're sighted or not. You know, he and I, both being the members of the Federation, just started communicating via the emails and telephone conversations. And one thing led into another, and we realized that, you know, we can make this work because he's partially blind as well. And so I tell him sometimes, I'm jealous because you do have a little bit of sight, and you can lead us to the bus stop, and you can do this, and you can do that. And then he tells me, well, I kind of know how you feel. Because at one point his vision was to where temporarily he had no vision as well, and so he did experience what my life is like all the time. So, you know, with the both of us in our impairments like it is, our communication with each other around the house is very verbal. I'm coming through this way, you know, so we don't run into each other. We constantly say, where are you? You know, here I am. And
yes,
well, now,
we have some of that.
In your married life, is that what gave you the encouragement to become an entrepreneur?
He was very encouraging. He was very encouraging. I had, prior to meeting him, had started with the crocheting, and, you know, just without that type of support, with somebody, you know, nudging you on, building that ego. When I met Philip and his encouraging words and just the support, yes, it sprung me into action. I had told him some of the journey that I had already overtaken. I had done a 100 faith-based blanket giveaway. For me, faith ended up free attitude in the heart. And so I said, Lord, I'm going to crochet 100 blankets and I'm going to give them away. I'd done that so that I could show myself that crocheting was going to be something that I had an interest in. It gave me over 10,000 hours of learning this craft, teaching myself, realizing that I could make up patterns with the stitches that I know. And that's how that journey began. And now I have so many one-of-a-kind original blankets that, hey, it's unique. Sleek is the name that I have, S-L-E-E-K. Sleek is unique. I create one-of-a-kind original pattern blankets and hats, scarves, and you name it, and I create it with crocheting now.
Okay, and so you knew how to crochet, and then you made a covenant with God about the free attitude. Was it free attitude in the heart? That's where you made how many blankets?
100.
100. And,
wow.
And it took, how did you distribute
those? It took seven years.
Wow.
And it was just that. Yeah, it was that I'm just going to do it, and I started giving them away. Actually, on my twins and my birthday, I had made each of the siblings a blanket and my mom, and I said, okay, you guys get the first five blankets, four siblings and my mom. And they said, well, why would you give us blankets on your birthday? I said, because you guys are gifts to me as just family, and you guys are going to live this blind life with me, so here's a gift, and I'm going to be a crochet designer. And they kind of laughed, yeah, right, you're not going to stick with this. But 17 years later, I'm sticking with it.
Wow. Now, Jim, let me ask you a question. Now, what lessons has your work life taught you?
Ooh, my work life taught me that if I could clock in and work that hard for someone else. Though I don't clock in now, I wake up and clock in. I wake up and say, it's a great day or it's a good day. And with starting my day every day with good or great, it pushes me forward, and that's what I do.
So you work hard for yourself, huh? So you can work hard.
I work
for
hard
others.
For myself now. I work hard.
Now, does your husband, Philip, you say Philip, is it?
Philip, yes.
Does he work? Is he working?
No. He's legally blind, and so, no, he's actually retired from the vending program. He was a vendor for the state.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and he's retired from that.
Wow.
He's actually out there painting the garage now. So, again, visually impaired, low vision people, we still do a lot of things.
Well, if he retired from the vending program, he deserved it because I retired from the vending program after 37 years in D.C., so I know how hard those folks work, 4 o'clock in the morning to whatever. Oh, okay. So now what we're going to do, we're going to, for people can see your creations, we're going to we put all our radio shows on our website, and so we're going to get you to send us some pictures of some of your items that people can see them, and we'll have your information that people like to get in touch with you to order some things. So we want to do that for the people. So that'll be something to look forward to. Go ahead.
And I have another question. I want to say something about unique design because I have one of your creations, and there was some beading on there, and I thought it was just decorative. And when I talked to you, you said, no, that's Braille for you. Now, you were a 40-year-old woman who lost your sight, and oftentimes children learn Braille, but a lot of adults who come to blindness later in life don't learn Braille. How did you learn to incorporate the Braille in your creations?
Okay. Again, just ideas that come to mind. I like doing unique, different things. And I picked up the Braille because one day it dawned on me that I was illiterate. Though I had graduated and went through some college, still, now that I'm blind, I can't read the materials like I used to, so I was back to illiteracy. And I refused to be illiterate, so I picked up the Braille book after throwing it across the room several different times saying, okay, I'm going to do this. And I ended up, Hadley School for the Blind is a mail order course that you can take. It's all computerized now, but back then I took it through the mail. And I've done both grade 1 and 2, making all A's throughout the program. And that's one that I don't use it a lot, so I'm trying not to lose it. So, Renee, that's how come I started incorporating it into my crochet work, because now, it keeps me familiar with it. And also, it's like a signature call, a blind person doing this, because I put Braille in it for you to know that I'm representing the proudness that I am of no more illiteracy. Woohoo!
And you know what? That's a beautiful story, because in the blind community, that's their concern, is that Braille is going to go the way of the horse and buggy because everybody uses technology, but you're illiterate without it. Yeah, it's a beautiful story. My last question, and then Reverend Ray can jump in. Any words from your experience for a person who is new to blindness and that has a little bit of age?
I will encourage those individuals to rely on what it is you already know. Remember who you are. I was asked what was the last thing I saw before I lost my sight. And even though, like I explained, I was looking in the mirror and I saw my face, when I answered that question, which ended up 15 years later, I said the last thing I saw was the strongest side of me. So I saw the strength that I had to gather from somewhere within the inner deepness of myself and say that Sherry's going to be okay. And so I started relying on all of what I knew from birth to 40. I said, well, I've learned something, so go with it and adapt it to the blindness and how to do the two together.
Oh, wow, beautiful.
That is beautiful. And Sherry, we want to thank you very, very much for being a special guest. And like I say, we're going to have this program, this show up on our website. And Ms. Renee will give you information of our website at the end of the show. But also, we're going to reach out to you to get a couple of pictures of some of your designs and products and a picture of you. And hopefully, and we're going to put the information up and hopefully... people will call you, which we sure they will. And as a radio show, we do give out door prizes, so we are definitely going to get some of your products to give out as door prizes. Okay.
Well, I thank you too very much. It's a pleasure and an honor, and I'm humbled to have had this opportunity to share my story. God is good all the time, and my motto is: be blessed to be a blessing.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Ms. Sherry. Thank you very much. God bless you, Sherry Harrison. Wow. All righty. So that was encouraging. Very encouraging. Yes. Some things she said, even as a blind person for 55 years, she said some enlightening things that gave me some thought to some things. So I really appreciated that. So once again, Ms. Renee, we are wrapping up, and I always like to say our our motto is: if you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But just keep moving forward. Just don't do nothing. Please just do something. And this is Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. My time is up. I thank you for your time. Until the next time, this is Reverend Ray, and I like to say, I might not have sight, but I can have vision. God bless and be blessed.
You have been listening to Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio. Have an idea for a show? Contact us in all the usual ways. Email us at snvradioshow@gmail.com. Those are the letters snvradioshow@gmail.com. Or call us at 301-377-6468. Want to listen to a past show? Type in the address bar, disabilityoneradio.com. That's disability and the number one, radio.com. In the address bar in the upper left. Otherwise, you will go to another screen. But we thank you for listening. We thank Ms. Sherry for sharing her beautiful story. And it's not what has happened. It's what you do after it happens. Thank you so much. And we'll see you here next Friday at 3:00 p.m.